Mr. Chairman, distinguished guests, ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much indeed for that very warm welcome. And of course, at the conference this year, we do have a number of very big hitters joining us from the political world. We had the Chancellor of the Exchequer yesterday evening, and we have the former Foreign Secretary later this afternoon, and I'm sure you're all looking forward to hearing from him. We did try to get the Brexit Secretary to come along, but every time we wrote a letter, it kept coming back, return to sender, address the unknown. It seems at the minute that the only person with any security of tenure around Downing Street is Larry the Downing Street Cat. He's endured longer than anybody. In fact, he might be a good pick for Brexit Secretary, since he's been involved in the negotiations as much as the previous Brexit secretaries have. But in all seriousness, ladies and gentlemen, we do meet in historic and changing times. But some things remain constant, and that's the unwavering support which you, our members and friends, give to this party, and it's truly humbling. And it's been that support over the years which has sustained the Democratic Unionist Party through the darkest and most difficult days of Northern Ireland's recent past. And today, the DUP, our party, stands at the epicentre of our national politics, at a turning point in history. And with that comes great challenges, but also great responsibilities. But when you have a clear set of core values, core beliefs, and core principles, then the path, however dark and difficult it may seem, becomes easier. For us, the guiding star is the union of the United Kingdom. And let us be very clear from this platform today, for those who have not been listening, and there have been a few that haven't been listening, the union of this United Kingdom is non-negotiable. In the coming days and weeks, the DUP will be tried and tested like never before. And it will require the collective will, not just of this party, but of all who value and cherish our precious union, to stand firm in the face of what will be the inevitable onslaught. In such momentous times for our country, it requires strong leadership to stand up to Brussels' bullying. It needs a strong leader to stand by her red lines. It takes a strong leader to stand by her promises. So step forward, Arlie. Let me say on behalf of our elected representatives and the members of this party, thank you, Arlene, for the work you do as our leader, a role you discharge with unwavering commitment, hard work and conviction. Thank you. It's less than 18 months since the people of Northern Ireland entrusted this party with an historic mandate. And since then, our influence has been felt in every corner of the United Kingdom. Those who voted Democratic Unionist at the last election have shown, once again, that it means positive delivery for people in all sections of the community in Northern Ireland and across the country. The triple lock to the state pension, secured. The universal winter fuel allowance, secured. Farm support for the entire parliamentary term, secured. Our NATO commitment on armed forces expenditure, secured. Additional funding for the armed forces covenant, secured. Investment in universal credit to protect the most vulnerable, secured. The lifting of the public sector pay cap, secured. And for Northern Ireland, we have delivered an unprecedented level of investment for all of our people. for those who voted for us, for those who didn't vote for us, and for those who didn't vote at all. Mr. Chairman, the DUP delivers for everyone. Following on from the £1 billion of additional funding and the £500 million in extra spending power that we have already secured through the confidence and supply arrangements, we ensured, as we heard last night from the Chancellor of the Exchequer, that in last month's budget, that would also deliver for Northern Ireland. For the Belfast Region City deal, we have secured the most generous funding level per head of population in the entire United Kingdom, a £350 million contribution from the Treasury to an overall deal that will transform our local communities, create up to 20,000 new jobs, and regenerate our towns and cities in that region. The total city deal investment will be upwards of another £1 billion of investment. And on top of that, there's the £320 million of additional resources for our hospitals, our schools and our infrastructure, the £2 million that we got to support Belfast City Centre following the Primark fire, as well as the commitments that we have now secured for the Londonderry area city deal. All of this would not be possible, conference, without the hard work and determination of our parliamentary team at Westminster. By working with the government, our party has acted in the national interest and ensured Northern Ireland has received unprecedented resources to benefit all of our people. And as the parliamentary leader at Westminster, I want to put on record my thanks and gratitude to all of my colleagues for their support, their advice, and their hard work. This Parliament has placed unimaginable demands upon our Members of Parliament, and I want to say to conference today that we should all pay tribute to each and every one of them for the work that they do at Westminster. Now, Mr. Chairman, the confidence and supply agreement is much talked about. It's an agreement between the Conservative Party and the DUP. It's based on our shared objectives for strengthening and enhancing the Union and achieving an exit from the European Union that benefits all parts of the United Kingdom. That's what's actually written down in the text of the agreement. It also says in terms that our agreement is there to support legislation on Brexit in line, and I quote, with both parties' shared priorities for negotiating a successful exit from the European Union. What does that mean? It means delivering a Brexit deal that takes back truly control of our laws, our money and our borders, and that we leave the European Union as one country. And Parliament, the House of Commons, with our votes, has legislated for the United Kingdom, every part of it, to leave the European Union on the 29th of March next year. And the DUP has been indispensable in getting the government its majority on Brexit thus far, and indeed on many other issues as well. Without us, the government would have been defeated, in almost half of all votes on the EU Withdrawal Act. Some people have forgotten that, but that's the reality. And of course, the confidence and supply deal is a two-way street. The government's commitment under it are clear, including on Brexit. Commitments freely entered into must be delivered, and if they are not, then clearly, as we have already shown, there are consequences. But it's in the interest, I believe, of this country and of Northern Ireland that our two parties continue to work together in the national interest. Our agreement is, of course, with the Conservative Party. And it's incumbent, therefore, on all Conservatives in Parliament, every one of them, to recognise the importance of continuing stability, and for those who wish to see the government deliver its agenda, to ensure that the confidence and supply agreement is honoured in full. Mr. Chairman, in the coming weeks, Parliament will be faced with a clear choice on the future of our country. To be a free, independent trading nation, leaving the European Union as one United Kingdom, or to be locked into an EU straitjacket, divided and diminished. The published withdrawal agreement portrays a pitiful and pathetic place for the United Kingdom. Hundreds of pages devoted to a backstop which would bind the United Kingdom into taking the rules of the European Union with no right to leave and no end date. A backstop that will put Northern Ireland under swathes of EU laws with no say for anyone in Belfast or London, a trade border down the Irish Sea. There won't be any use then lobbying MPs or MLAs, because it'll not be them that'll set the laws. Nobody in Britain would be setting those laws. A backstop that keeps a continuing role for the European Court of Justice. A backstop that deletes all reference to paragraph 50 of the joint report, giving a final say to Northern Ireland. A backstop that gives the entire leverage in the negotiations on the future trade relationship with the EU. A backstop that will mean that for the future arrangements, the choice will be clear for the UK to have a customs union and high EU alignment, or leave Northern Ireland in a customs union and high EU alignment. And of course, the EU will get to decide, otherwise we stay locked in to the backstop. And you know, the tragedy of all of this is, of course, as we know, that it's all totally unnecessary, since everyone, including Dublin, Brussels, London, Belfast, say they're not going to have a hard border on the island of Ireland under any circumstances. Back in December, we advised the Prime Minister not to sign up to such a deal, but she went ahead. And the provisos we secured and that she entered into then, sadly, she is casting aside. Those who say this backstop is good for our economy or business need to consider the effect of the trade barriers and growing divergence that would inevitably emerge, some immediately, but most in future years, between Northern Ireland and the rest of the United Kingdom. The United Kingdom, the rest of it, where our main market is and from where most of our inward trade comes from. No wonder the Chancellor of the Exchequer, the Chancellor of the Exchequer himself said, it's not good for the economy and it's not good for the union. Why on earth then is it in the withdrawal agreement? Mr. Chairman, one of the most striking things about the recent period of turbulence has been the number of people from right across the United Kingdom that are now speaking up in defence of the union. When I stood before you last year, I told you that the job of this party at Westminster was to build a network of relationships and contacts that would strengthen and deepen support for the union. And in recent days, the fruit of our labour has been clear to see. The number of ministers who, in their resignation letters from government, and scores of MPs from all sides citing the clear damage the withdrawal plan would do to the union of the United Kingdom. So successful, in fact, have we been that we've even managed to convert Jeremy Corbyn to the cause. In fact, this deal seems to have united people from all parties and within all factions of all parties against it. It's still not too late for the Prime Minister to change course. Don't believe the propaganda that it's too late. It isn't. The DUP wants a deal with the European Union. We understand that businesses, families and communities want certainty. But it's not this deal. It's not a deal at any price. The Prime Minister used to say that. We still say that. So, Prime Minister, the message from this conference, from every section of this party, is bin the backstop. Rather than waste any more time putting forward false choices, we need the government to get on with securing a better deal. This party stands united in wanting a good deal for the United Kingdom, a deal which delivers on the referendum result, and a deal which ensures that Northern Ireland leaves with the rest of the United Kingdom. And we will always use our votes and our voices in Parliament and outside it to protect the Union, not to undermine it. And that's why we were delighted also to welcome to our platform the representatives from the government of Gibraltar. Gibraltar is British, and we will use our voices and our votes in Parliament to stand with British Gibraltar. There are those who seek to undermine the expressed will of the people of Gibraltar to remain British. And we're seeing that even in the latest machinations in Brussels. And there will be those who will continue to exploit Brexit to try to weaken the Union and to further their own political agendas. But you know, in doing so, they do irreparable damage to the public's faith in politics and to relationships on these islands, be it those using the hard-won peace and the political progress in Northern Ireland as a political football to thwart or delay Brexit, or those in other jurisdictions trying to play up their Republican credentials in advance of a forthcoming general election. Let us say very clearly that by their actions, they do more to advance the possibility of a so-called no-deal Brexit than anyone else. Mr. Chairman, we cannot and will not allow the position we find ourselves in to pass by without delivering a real and abiding legacy for future generations of unionism. Taking difficult decisions, stretching ourselves and making progress in the long-term interests of Northern Ireland are what has brought this party to its present position. And we now stand as the strong, unfettered voice of unionism and of Northern Ireland. We haven't been afraid of taking the tough decisions in the past, and we have been rewarded for doing so by the people. We cannot allow unionism to be guided by short-term expediency over long-term strategic objectives and necessity. As times change, so too must we adapt to ensure that we can meet the challenges that lie ahead. Unionism is something that is cherished by many, not just in Northern Ireland, as we have seen in recent days, but by countless millions across the United Kingdom from all backgrounds, parties and social background. For that diverse pro-union family, the overriding objective is the strengthening of our precious union. Nothing else comes close, and so it should be for us. Other unionist politicians may be opportunist and short-term, but I have no doubt that where most grassroots unionists stand, they want us to work together with the overriding objective of securing the Union. And we pledge that we will do everything possible to make that a reality. Mr. Chairman, whilst Westminster is, of course, especially at the moment, centre stage in massive and momentous decisions about to be made, we must never, ever lose sight of the fact that the interests of Northern Ireland and of the Union are best served when we have as much control over our own destiny as possible. And I remain convinced that all of our people, regardless of class or creed, are best served by having a fully functioning local assembly and executive. Yes, it's difficult to achieve consensus, but the collective and combined efforts of all of our people can deliver truly amazing results. And we have delivered truly amazing changes in Northern Ireland in recent times. Next month marks the 100th anniversary of the election of Sir Edward Carson as the Member of Parliament for the Duncairn constituency. The man who became the face and voice of opposition to Home Rule and is forever remembered as a unionist icon and leader. And he said it best when he said, "Let us take care to win all that is best among those who have been opposed to us in the past." And so, conference, let us together continue to serve the people in the spirit of those who have gone before us, great leaders of unionism. The coming weeks and months will require our collective resolve. It won't be easy, and it won't always be straightforward. That's something that we have learned in recent weeks, every twist and turn of the daily news cycle. But with your continued help and support, we, the leadership, the elected representatives of this party, are more prepared than ever before. And we will need each and every one of you to join us on this journey as we continue to lead the way for Northern Ireland and for the Union. So let us stand together, united, strong for our kingdom, our cause and our people. And let it be said, and this is our great responsibility, let it be said when the history books are written about these times, and many will be written, that in the face of turbulence and momentous decisions, it was the Democratic Unionist Party who stood strong for Northern Ireland, who stood strong for the great union that we all love and cherish. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thanks very much. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thanks very much. Thank you. Thank you. Thanks very much. Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you.